Hey there, boys, girls, and flying squirrels. My name's Joe Keyport, and you're listening to the Ear Coffee Podcast. I learned about this week's guest after stumbling across a video posted by Undercurrent Minneapolis. Since they have a great taste in underground music and are one of the best curators of our local scene, I thought I'd give it a shot. What flooded from my speakers was the dense and fuzzy sound of Double Grave. I was instantly struck by their ability to combine visceral guitar riffs with sweet vocal melodies that gave me You're Living All Over Me era Dinosaur Jr. vibes. One poorly written review of their 2018 EP Empty Hands later, Jeremy Warden of Double Grave was gracious enough to sit down with me just to chat. We discussed the band's history, their work with the label Sad Cactus and Forged Artifacts, plus Double Grave's new album, which was recorded at the end of last month and the beginning of this one. I also learned during this interview that Jeremy is the founder of Heavy Meadow Records. Now, Heavy Meadow is a record label that just popped up on my radar, and while Jeremy and I didn't get the chance to dive too deeply into this one, there are plans in the works to have him back later this year to discuss the label. This is an episode I definitely recommend you stick around for the entire thing. It's Double Grave's Jeremy Warden on the Ear Coffee Podcast. So I'm sitting here with Mr. Jeremy Warden.
Yep, that's right, me.
Of Double Grave and other projects. Yes. How are you doing today?
Great.
Great? Are you finally, you a fan of the cold weather?
I love the cold.
Are you really?
Yeah.
So, because you're, are you from Minnesota as well? Like,
Basically, yeah.
Okay. So, let's start in the beginning, get a little history of the band Double Grave, which is the band I learned about you from. As I was reading an old City Pages article, it mentioned that you and the bassist Bree knew each other before coming to the city. So, kind of tell me about that relationship and how it transformed before coming here.
Sure. Well, Seth, the drummer, and I actually have known each other longer. We met in high school. And started playing music together then, but then separated, moving to different towns. And that's when I met Bree.
Okay.
And she and I, we met in 2010 in college.
Okay.
And
what school were you going to?
Northland College.
Okay.
It's in Ashland, Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And we both dropped out of school, actually. Not to play music necessarily. She actually didn't play music at that time, but we found ourselves down in Minneapolis in 2012, and because I wanted to play music, basically.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And Seth had been living here at that point, and like we crashed with him when we moved down, and we started playing together, the three of us, in like 2014, actually.
Okay.
But Seth and I started playing in other bands before that.
Yeah. So the band that you formed, from what I read, was called Bear the Sound. So tell me about how that band came to form, because that's when it looked like you, from the snooping I did online, Seth and Bree started playing together. Was it just the three of you, or were there more?
Bree wasn't in Bear the Sound.
Okay.
That originally started with me and one other person as like a recording project. And then when we started playing live, we brought Seth into the mix.
Okay.
And then pretty much right when that band was ending for various reasons, that's when, like, right before that, Bree had wanted to learn how to play bass.
Okay.
So she and Seth and I have been really good friends for a long time, obviously. And so basically just as a way for her to learn to play bass, we started playing together as a trio. And then when Bear the Sound ended, I didn't have another band. So I basically turned all of my attention to like the three of us and like what we were doing. So, and that was called Ego Death at the start.
Yeah.
And then we changed our name in 2017.
Okay. What made you want to change the name from Ego Death to, is that, I'm assuming that's when Double Grave became an entity then?
Yeah. Well, I mean, Double Grave and Ego Death are like the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So from like 2014 to 2017, we were Ego Death. But that was actually a name that I had like recycled from solo projects when I was like in middle school and high school. I would release music under that name.
Yeah.
And so like I said, when we started playing together, it was very low key, just kind of like having fun and like playing without any real intention. So we didn't put much thought into the name. And then things started to really take off, and It turns out Ego Death is an extremely popular band name. Okay. There are many of them out there. And so it started to cause some problems. And like neither of us like were very attached to it either. Okay. So we had actually started thinking, like we decided we were going to change our name and started thinking about it like a year before we actually did it. And so we were just trying out different names. And we came up with Double Grave on tour once. We were in a cemetery and like... It was like a game for a long time. Like, oh, yeah, this would be a good band name. Or like, that would be a good band name. But then that one actually like stuck.
It's like you had the notes app on your phone with just a big long list of just random.
Yeah, basically.
I know I saw the quote. It's in, now that you mentioned that you weren't very stuck to it, because I saw a quote somewhere that there were other ego deaths when it, you know, so I was wondering what that kind of meant in as that quote.
Yeah. I'm not sure specifically what you're referring to, but yeah, there were a bunch. There was specifically one in Canada, this like folk singer who was like really popular.
Gotcha.
And we kept on getting emails from people thinking we were them.
Okay.
And we're like, this is going to become a problem soon. And we were about to release a record, so we wanted to change the name before that happened.
How did your following you had already built up handle the name change? I know I don't have any personal experience with rebranding a band as a musician, but I know... rebranding other projects can be an interesting time.
Yeah, it was actually harder than I anticipated. I thought like we would change and we'd switch over our name on social media and then everyone would just like put it together and we'd make a big announcement like, oh, we have new music coming and also our name is different now. But even now I'll like cross paths with people who like knew about Ego Death but didn't realize that like Double Grave is the same thing. So that's it's a little tough.
Okay.
But we're hoping to like kind of re-release some of that Ego Death material in the next year or two, and I feel like that'll kind of help really tie the knot on it.
I know on social media you're announcing it through social media, but you were re-releasing or reposting a lot of older material through Bandcamp. Is that kind of the ramp up to?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a lot of that is kind of just us like revisiting this stuff and sort of refamiliarizing ourselves with it, because we've actually had quite a few releases and recording sessions and we've taken a lot of it off of the internet, the pre-Double Grave stuff. And over the last like several months, we've sort of been hanging out with it again and being like, oh, well, this song is still pretty cool. And maybe we can like remix these ones and like put them back out, or like these ones are bad or they're never coming back out.
So has it been a mostly positive experience revisiting older material, especially material that you wrote as a forming band?
Yeah, it's definitely very interesting.
Okay.
To sort of see like, I don't know, I think maybe in hindsight, if I had advice for myself, it would be to just like save songs and not like record them so quickly and kind of like pick the best of them instead of like recording and putting out everything that we were doing all the time. Cause I think we put a lot of stuff out there that I don't quite stand behind anymore, but that's just me.
Has there been a song in particular that you've stumbled across again, looking through maybe old session files or anything that you either maybe forgotten how good it was, or you sat with a little longer and maybe even rewrote some parts and started playing again, or?
Well, there are some songs from the very early days that we do still play live, and we kind of have always kept them in the live circuit. Songs like The Kiss, which was on our first record, that I know really resonated with people, and like people still ask to hear that live. So yeah, some of them I'm still very proud of for sure.
The band is signed to both Sad Cactus out of New York and then Forged Artifacts, which I noticed you're wearing a Forged Artifacts hoodie.
I am. It's extremely comfortable.
and which is based out of Minnesota. What is the reasoning behind working with two separate labels?
I just really wanted to do that. We worked with Sad Cactus to put out New Year's Daydream.
Okay.
And I'd become friends with the person who runs that, Niccolo Porcello, through the internet, mostly through booking, like helping each other set up shows in Midwest and in the Northeast region, like for each other. And then when we were going to put that record out, I showed it to him And he was like, who's putting this out? I'm like, nobody. He's like, let me do it. and we've made a lot of friends since then through the Sad Cactus label. And we tour out that way a lot and have a lot of friends on that label. But then when we were going to put out this last EP for Empty Hands, we were going to do cassettes and 7 inches. Mm-hmm. And I just had the idea that, you know, I wanted to keep working with Sad Cactus because we're friends, but I wanted someone else to do the tape because I just wanted to work with another person. And I think Forged Artifacts is one of the best labels in the region.
Okay.
And it was kind of important to me to like have a Midwest based label, even though they work with people from all over, but they're based in St. Paul. And I just wanted to like kind of connect those worlds. And so they, Sad Cactus did the vinyl, Forged Artifacts did the tapes. And it was just fun to kind of split up the effort like that and just involve more people.
How was the dynamic between the three of you, like between Sad Cactus, Forged Artifacts, and then the band itself? Are you, do you guys as a band have a lot of freedom to do stuff or?
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
We have like complete freedom basically. Okay. Yeah. Nothing but support from Forged and Sad Cactus.
And then I learned just a few minutes ago that you work with, are you the runner of or the head of Heavy Metal Records?
Yep, that's me.
Okay.
Bree and Seth are not very actively involved with that, but it's an effort that is sort of riding the coattails of what we've done as Double Grave. So they're obviously like a part of the mix.
When did you start that label?
our first release was in March of 2018.
Okay.
So it hasn't been very long.
No.
But we did 4 tapes last year, and this year is going to be a lot busier for sure. Yeah.
And there's one moment in the band's history I really wanted to ask about specifically. In October of last year, there was kind of an ambiguous Facebook post you guys made about the future of the band. And so kind of tell me what was going behind the scenes among the three of you.
Yeah. I don't know. I like to kind of... it's sort of like a prankster within me that I can't deny as far as like using the internet. I think it's a very interesting tool for bands, and I think it's really interesting when bands are kind of confusing on the internet instead of just always being like, here are all of our shows, here's like our music. It's kind of fun to put some real personality and like mystery behind it. And we just knew that we weren't going to be playing shows for a while because we're about to start recording a new record.
Yeah.
So we're starting that this weekend, actually, after recording this. I know time in podcast world is kind of hard to understand. But I kind of made it sound like we were breaking up just because I wanted to get people's attention.
Yeah.
But it's basically just that we were going to take a break to record.
Gotcha.
But it comes with the context of us having played basically like I did the math before making that post, and we played like over 300 shows
since
we started in 2014. So that's like 300 shows in 4 years. And you know, the longest we'd ever gone without playing a show was like 4 weeks since we started. And now it's been like 2 months since we've played because we've been trying to actually write and record and sort of just slow down and just take a break and try to figure out what's going to happen next instead of just like hustling all the time.
I know you made a clarification post after it sounded like a bunch of people reached out, but
a lot of people asked if we were breaking up, which I felt both humored and sad about. I was like, I didn't mean to make anybody think that.
I know you like you mentioned earlier, you kind of you touched on the fact that Double Grave had been going nonstop for since the beginning of the band, and you just kind of wanted to take some time because you were going to go into the studio and record some the next album. But there's a line in here that I specifically kind of wanted to ask you about. It says, quote, when we break up, it's because we've done all we wanted, and it's not because I'm just frustrated and cynical or frustrated or cynical and tired.
Yeah.
So we're just kind of a little bit of burnout maybe?
Definitely. Mm. I mean, I think music is very hard and it's difficult to sustain.
Yeah.
And I think that bands, I feel like it's rare for a band to be able to live forever, you know? And I would definitely like, if and when this band does break up, I would like it to be like on a really good note, like very with like intention, not because something terrible happened and we all feel like, how could we go on? I don't want it to be because we did something wrong, because we're out of touch with what we're trying to do or how we feel like we fit in the world. Yeah.
I know the more and more I've like, especially with television shows and listening to records from bands who've gone maybe a little too long in their career, there's there's a certain respect you can have for somebody who decided that they want to just put a big cap right where they know it's good. There's kind of a story that sticks in my mind. I'm not a huge fan of the Dillinger Escape Plan, but there's a story around that band when they broke up last year, I believe, when they like, we could feel the bad record was coming, and and instead of making that bad record and then just trying to push through it, they're like, we can have a really great ending and end on a high note. So, okay.
Yeah, it's definitely that kind of desire for sure.
And to kind of, you also mentioned in that post various side projects. I know the drummer plays in a number of bands, or you've mentioned shows he's playing with, Cult of Lip and some other. And then Bree plays with Scrunchies, who have been blowing up. And then you just started a project called Animal Actor, which you played your first live show, I believe, in December.
Yep.
So kind of tell me the synthesis behind that project.
Behind Animal Actor?
Yeah.
That's it's me playing bass mostly. It's the songs were kind of born out of just like a writing exercise. Like I was just trying to force myself to write more consistently. Because with Double Grave, it can take a long time for the song to actually be done. And you know, the longer a band goes on, kind of the more it like becomes itself, and like it's sort of narrowed what you can do. And I kind of just wanted to start writing things that I knew weren't going to be Double Grave songs, so that I could give myself some more like space in my mind, basically. And so, yeah, I just started to write songs as an exercise, and it was like, they have to be less than 2 minutes long, and I'm going to write them on a bass. I'm not going to play guitar. And like, that was the criteria. And I didn't think it would really be anything I would play out or record, but I started to really like the process. And I had wanted to start playing solo more, because that's something I used to do a lot, and I feel like I should do it more so that my stage presence can improve, because I've become one of those people that like doesn't really speak on stage and kind of like hides behind the sounds that the band makes. Double Grave is very much a like get on stage, play for like 20 minutes and then get off stage kind of band. So I wanted to sort of work on that side of things too. It's basically just a way for me to experiment without like the ties of what Double Grave is doing. Okay.
Is it primarily just going to be you and a bass and that's it? Or is there some extra kind of, when you're writing these songs, is there a little extra instrumentation going on?
Yeah, there'll probably be more songs going on once they're recorded.
Okay.
But live, I think I'll just keep it to myself.
Which is, to me, it's very fascinating when someone does a solo project where it's just them and an instrument and it's not what you'd expect it to be. Like if it was an acoustic guitar, maybe like a Julian Baker where it's an electric guitar through a million effects pedals, or if like some sort of folk instrument. So
yeah, I didn't want to do that. I love playing acoustic guitar. And I write a lot of songs that way too, but it's, I wanted to be able to play shows with like bands still. I wanted it to still be really loud if I wanted it to be. So I was like, electric bass. Gonna do it.
Yeah. How does the dynamic between all of the side projects work together? Do you guys decide when you're going to spend time with your other bands, whether Breeze with Scrunchies or Seth is working with other bands and you're doing either heavy metal stuff or your Animal Actor stuff? Do you guys kind of decide those things, or how does that?
It's kind of like whoever can claim the time first, I guess. Like it recently it's been, that's actually been like a quite a thing, because we're all like looking at the rest of the year and figuring out like, okay, when is Double Grave gonna tour and record, and like when is Scrunchies gonna try and tour, and like trying to plan out what everyone is gonna be up to like when around the year, so we can like game that out. But Double Grave, like at least for the three of us, is like home base, so it sort of will always take priority. No offense to all the other bands. But and we're all on the same page on that. So like I just had to give up an Animal Actor show because Double Grave got like a really cool show offer. So I would hope that my bandmates would do the same for me.
Yeah.
Not that I would expect that. Animal Actor is just me. But yeah, so I mean, we have a regular like schedule every week that Double Grave is able to get together for, and then everyone else kind of has their own thing.
Okay.
Yeah. We have a Google Calendar. We try to keep it updated.
Fancy.
Yeah.
I was wondering if we could talk a little bit about how songs are written for Double Grave. Since that band is a very sonically dense band,
sure.
Do you primarily start with a riff or a lyric, or is it all written by you? Kind of walk me... I know it's very hard to pin down kind of a creative process, but...
Yeah, the process is mostly I will at least write out like the whole song with a guitar part, and it's usually the guitar first for me, and I'll have like loose vocal melodies that I can sing on top of it, but the lyrics often will take a really long time for me to wrap up, because I tend to write songs in batches, and so it's kind of not until we're playing the whole batch together that I can really decide on what the songs are about. That might be kind of weird sounding, but that's how it works. So I'll like write out a song, and then I like demo it out with just like a drum machine and a bass line, and the sequence is usually that like I'll demo it out, Brie and I will hash out her part, and then Seth will like kind of familiarize himself with the demo, and then once Brie and I are locked in with our parts, because I feel like Double Grave is a lot of like guitar bass melody, like dancing together, so then once we're locked in, then Seth comes in and then we like finish it off. So I'll get it like demoed out like 70%, and then we'll work on it together from there.
Gotcha. Yeah. And then you mentioned that you're recording a new record, and that's this weekend you're going into the studio.
Yeah, the studio is my house.
Your house. So tell me about this new record. Is there just tell me a little bit about it and the music.
Yeah. Let's see. It's gonna be 8 or 9 tracks.
Okay.
Our last record was 7 songs, and people kept saying that that was too short. So we're gonna at least do 8. but. Yeah, it's. I think the main way that we expect for it to be different is that I think all of our past recordings have basically been like we all get in a room and track it, and there's not a whole lot of extra production going on. We'll like take time like mixing it and whatever, making it sound okay, but there's not a lot of like real producing and like having fun recording. That's mostly been because of like time restraints or like financial restraints or skill restraints, depending on which recording I'm talking about. But for this one, like Brie and I moved into a house that we're going to kind of trick out into a studio. Okay. So we're going to have, and we're doing it all ourselves. So we're planning on taking a lot longer, basically, where I think the like New Year's Daydream, it was essentially one day in a proper studio.
Okay.
And then maybe like a week's worth of additional recording at a house. And with this, like, we're just going to chip away at it like every week until it's done.
So is it going to be less like maybe doing it all live and then adding to it? Or is it going to be, are you still going to try and do that? Sounded like you recorded the first record and some of the other stuff just all live and then kind of worked at it. Okay.
We're probably going to do a lot of live tracking, but it'll be, I think we're just more prepared to like redo things and like maybe we'll even get a whole song done and we'll have to like redo the guitars because they don't sound right. And a lot more of that kind of like punching in and like extra instrumentation and whatnot.
You're willing to be more picky with how things are recorded?
Yeah, basically, instead of just like laying it all down and then trying to mix it right, like we'll just re-record it, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
How long have you been sitting on these this batch of songs?
Half of them have been written for, I don't even know how long, maybe like a year. And we've been playing some of those live, so there'll be like some familiar tracks. But then the other half, we've kind of been writing like the latter half of this year, and then we've like finished them in this time that we've taken to not gig.
Is there some
been all wrapped up
recurring themes or storylines that are going to be present throughout this new record?
Kind of. I don't usually feel like my songs are really like about anything. Specifically, I'm not much of a storyteller, but you know, the themes of like daydream or like winter and like isolation. And with this record, I feel like I've been very interested in trying to create a sense of place. I've been really interested in music and records that feel like you're kind of walking into like, oh, their own worlds. And so I want to try to make it feel like that. And it's, I feel like if there's any lyrical theme, it's about maybe like feeling trapped somewhere. Okay. And like you want to leave a place behind. And it's maybe that moment when you're like thinking about that place, if that makes any sense. I haven't really tried to articulate it before.
No, that's fair. Yeah, it makes total sense. To just kind of wrap things up, you mentioned that 2019 is going to be a busy year for you, both as the band and then the record label. So kind of tell me a little bit about that. Are you planning on touring as the band or?
We'll definitely tour. We're going to focus on recording. So I think whereas before we've kind of like constantly been gigging, it'll be like I think before it would be like a couple shows in town each month and like one tour each month, like I mean air quotes tour, like within the region. And we tried to do like two like longer like other regional tours each year, and I feel like this year we may just do like one or two smaller tours and focus a lot on recording. But everyone else's bands are also pretty active right now, and so I think it's just going to be kind of a year where we don't grind as hard. We just really like try to like do our own thing and like create our own space for ourselves. But we'll hit the road a little bit. For anybody listening, like we're not like hiding out for a whole year because we really love to play and we really love to tour. And the label has a lot of stuff coming up. I can't really like say, except when is this coming out?
This would come out in February.
February? Okay, so some stuff will have been announced. But yeah, we've got like 6 or 7 releases coming up between like now and May. So yeah, it'll be fun. It'll be good.
Awesome. Well, thank you for sitting down with me.
Yeah, thank you so much.
The Ear Coffee Podcast is a companion to a blog of the same name. You can follow us on social media at Ear Coffee with 3 E's. That's COFFEEE. If you liked this episode, please rate and review it on iTunes, as it is a way for us to stand out against the sea of other music podcasts and show a spotlight on the Minneapolis music scene. I have been Joe Keyport, and this has been the Ear Coffee Podcast. I'll see you next time.